Share my screen. I'll have that load up. Can you see it okay, Caitlin?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. As we approach the end of the year, this is our sixth advisory committee meeting. So appreciate everyone carving out the time to be able to join virtually here. Quick outline. I think it'll be a shorter meeting today, but we have been very busy as a project team on some of the specific elements of our study area. So just really want to highlight that. We'll give the standard kind of update with the project and public outreach. But really much of the work has been with Simsbury. So I want to share some of the news with the draft report becoming available and just some of the highlights that you can expect to see in the report, as well as Griffin Line, been very active on that front. We have been, as a project team, still underway with some of the documentation in a memo, but have been in the last few weeks on a site visit. So I want to share some of the photos that we had as a group there, as well as some of the conversation points. So just here we are on the project schedule. We're here in December. I think we are, at least for the East Hartford piece and the Bloomfield piece, I think it's fair to say we're really towards the end of kind of documentation of our shortlist alternatives, in good position there to move those to final reporting. I hear some folks coming in, Rory or others. Would you be able to just admit as they come available? You know, taking a look in 2024, we're still kind of on our sights this, you know, January, February, March as being final reporting wrap up with some of those final public meetings occurring in February and March. In terms of outreach, this really hasn't changed too much since our last meeting in October, but just a reminder, we've been keeping a long list of pop-up events, workshops, and other events that we've been attending to date, about 350 members of the public that we've engaged with. We currently have almost 200 unique email list addresses on our interested parties list, where we give updates just to our newsletter and some of the, you know, deliverables that become available. And we have 25 log comments so far with email and our online form. Future engagement, what can you expect? Community pop-up events, we still have three more scoped. I suspect perhaps that these might get kind of scheduled in tandem to our final public meetings as those become announced. One-on-one stakeholder meetings, we've been having several over the last several weeks, but we are still open to having more. So always want to highlight that for the group to just highlight if there's any folks that you think that the project team should engage with more in a direct manner. We certainly can make ourselves available either virtually or in person. Emails and newsletters, we will have one more newsletter minimum here in the winter going into the spring. And then, of course, finally wrapping up with final public meetings and town council and approval. So with that, I will just cover the Simsbury update, just kind of some logistics news on that. Actually, just as of this week, the Town of Simsbury recommendation report draft has been posted at the Town of Simsbury site on CROG here, CROG.org/Town of Simsbury Capital Region ECG. So you can find the PDF there. The public comment period is open through January 15th. So instructions have been provided on the website. Essentially, it'll just be an email to phil@pgoff@vhb.com. So it'll be just over 30 days of public comment. And can expect a project e-blast to be sent out this week. But we also would appreciate any additional outreach by towns or any relevant organizations just to make sure that we cover our bases on any of the public comment. I'm going to stop there, Caitlin. I don't know on that last point if you have any other anything else to add on outreach for the draft report.
I don't believe so. You know, asking obviously the town of Simsbury, they're going to be, you know, sharing it out as well. this is, you know, specific to the town of Simsbury, but anyone is welcome to comment on it, obviously. And I think also I'll make a note, actually just thinking of it now, Bike Pit Advisory Board is this Friday. So I'll be sure to share it with them as well. Members of the board or members that attend their meetings might be interested. So I'll be sharing it out that way. And yeah, this is hopefully to put them on track to get a formal endorsement from our policy board. I believe January is, in January. January's what we're aiming for. We have a little bit of time if we needed it, but aiming for January.
There you go. So next steps, you know, we're looking at the end of the comment period to finalize this report, get in front of the policy board and any other CROG boards for approval. And just want to highlight in the recommendations report, there is a suggested schedule that kind of looks like a design being 2.5 years or so, 2024 through 2026, and construction for two seasons, 2027 through 2028. So that is something that's taken from the report and just something to keep in mind.
And I don't know, anyone from the town of Simsbury have anything to add as well on the report or the process? You're welcome to.
Everything looks great. This is Adam Kessler with the town of Simsbury. We'll certainly put out, you know, Twitter or whatever we're calling it these days, and our website as well for just to highlight the public comment period.
Awesome.
Great, thank you. And I just did want to give a very high level summary of kind of what to expect in this report. I just took a few elements right from the recommendations report draft. I don't think this will be news to anyone on the call, but just want to re-highlight this. Ultimately, the alternative 2 was selected as the preferred alternative and recommended at 13.13 million. And that is the route essentially shown here as the orange dash line from essentially the Big Y kind of area in on the Farmington Canal Heritage Trail, utilizing a abandoned rail embankment corridor with a new crossing at the historic railroad crossing of the Farmington River, which I just showed you the visualization, and then back on the east side of the Farmington River through Terrapville Park, and then kind of coming back up behind Main Street extension to connect into the existing Terrapville and Bloomfield connector. So just wanted to show some of the visualizations there. West side of the Farmington River, as I noted, utilizing access road, top of the abandoned rail embankment. It is would require easement through private property, but something that we shared previously on how that could kind of look. At the Farmington River, this is a new photo morph showing just potentially what a bridge over the Farmington River could look like. Just noting, this is a historic rail crossing location. It's approximately 575 feet between the embankment end on the west side and the historic bridge abutment on the east side. So something that we've noted in the report. And just something I want to highlight, about 400 feet of this distance lies west of the river. So we're actually looking upriver in this shot. So west is on the right side of this photo. And just highlighting that the report does indicate that, you know, design details in this section to be determined whether this looks like as a bridge or boardwalk set, section, et cetera. So just highlighting that this is this area, this is the west side here on the left, kind of through some of the minor water courses before it gets to the main course of the Farmington River. And then finally, some highlights on the remaining sections to the east. Generally recommended to follow the historic rail corridor with two exceptions as noted in the report. Near Sixwater, Whitewater Turn, the historic rail corridor is the closest to, at this location, the residence is approximately 20 feet. And kind of the second area, 1,500 linear feet between 14 Tanager Circle and 40 Whitewater Turn, where the historic rail bed has essentially been built over in the 1980s by the condominiums. And it's about a half mile through private property, as noted. So those two locations, just graphics that I took from the report, Whitewater Turn. Essentially some discussion in here of potentially either staying on the rail embankment or showing in this red area an alternative to consider an area closer to the river from the rail embankment. Outside of, there's a vernal pool kind of in this space in between those two alignments, so on the opposite side of that. And then the second area between 14 Tanager Circle and 40 Whitewater Turn. Just noting that the riverbank is generally steeper than other areas. Consider routing the trail closer to the Farmington River while still keeping the trail outside of the river floodway or floodplain. And just noting that on the topo, you can kind of see that, you know, elevation plays to our advantage in this area where we can kind of think about that. And that is something that we're showing as a little bit of a fuzzy line to be determined in design. So just wanted to give the 5-minute highlight of what to expect in the report. There's a lot more details in the report, but those are kind of the few slides that I just wanted to indicate for the group and make sure we're all on the same page. Is there anything else to add from Caitlin, VHB, or the town?
I think that covered it from my end.
But certainly. So keep an eye on the email for the e-blast. It will have the direct link with some of this information. And certainly we certainly invite comment for that January 15th deadline. So appreciate it. So Griffin Line, just wanted to highlight some of the work we've been doing on this portion. Just ongoing activities. We had a site visit on November 21st. First, the week of right before Thanksgiving, with DOT, Office of Rail, the City of Hartford, IQIL, CROG, and the consultant team with FHI Studio. So we walked from Garden Street to Albany Avenue and had really good conversation. So we just wanted to kind of highlight and recap some of our discussion points and show photos from the site visit just so we could share those with the entire group. Outside of that site visit, we've had continuous ongoing meetings with Office of Rail, City of Hartford, and IQIL, individually just making sure we're all on the same page. And just as a reminder, we're working up the consultant team in CROG developing the Griffin Line Feasibility Assessment Technical Memorandum. We're working that up now that we've completed our site visit here in December and hope to have something by the end of the year or potentially as the holidays kind of landed, maybe early January. And that will contain some of the following sections, looking at existing conditions, case studies, relevant standards, design guidance, and ultimately rail with trail specific alternative analysis, some illustrative cross sections, mapping, costing and economic development benefits of some of the different alternatives. Finally, we'll land on essentially one preferred alternative with how rail with trail could work in this corridor, kind of further developing a concept plan and 3D visualizations showing some of those key components. So before we go into the photos, I thought it was helpful just to kind of highlight some of the discussion points, and we'll just kind of show you along the way where those were coming into consideration. First and foremost, private property easements likely required a narrow right-of-way near Garden Street, so just closest to where we're starting to downtown. The fencing for the railroad is just under 30 feet. So not very much space to add rail with trail. So in this area, certainly something that we were looking at, easement being required, regardless of which side of the railroad rail with trail was pursued on. Generally speaking, the north side has several adjacent buildings that would require building demolition, significant site changes, or rail alignment if trail were to be routed on this side. So indicating seven I guess six properties, but also down here at the end, just wanted to note that north of Albany Ave, and there are two towers, transmission towers south of Albany Ave on the east side that make it particularly challenging if we were to route a trail on the north or east side at this location, just with how close these transmission towers are to the bridge at Albany Ave. So we'll take a look at that in the photos. So conversely, the railway trail options on the south side would have less obstructions. One that we noted and you'll see photos of is 156 Woodland Street or the Austin Organs Complex. It is the closest building on the south side, plus or minus 26 feet to the center of rail at the closest point there. And then in terms of the bridge structures, we have three in kind of that core section, Sigourney Street, Woodland Street, and Albany Avenue. Sigourney Street discussed the concept to route the trail between the bridge pier and abutment, so we'll show photos of that. Woodland Street, this is the narrowest bridge of all the bridges that we're taking a look at. Simply is not wide enough. Get some feedback. Simply is not wide enough to accommodate both the railroad and railway trail through the existing span, so it would require either replacement with a wider structure or potentially a new culvert off the side. So we'll show that. And then we did discuss out in the field, potentially an alternative is to ramp up an existing City of Hartford property up to the Woodland Drive signal. And then finally, Albany Avenue Bridge, more or less in the field, talking about a culvert to the west of this bridge. The terrain is favorable to making that happen. Albany Ave is kind of up in an embankment and with plenty of land on either side of north and south of Albany Ave to receive a culvert. So really, that's where we were talking out in the field. And then routing a trail under the current bridge would require rail realignment. The rail is currently center of the bridge span with not sufficient space to the east or west to make a railway trail happen. However, the span is wide enough to make a railway trail happen if the rail was to be a realigned closer to one of those walls. So we'll work up generally from Garden Street towards the northwest. This was really the route that we took on the walk. So I just see some of those noted. This was the narrow right-of-way section looking west from Garden Street, about 30 feet from both of those fences, which are essentially the right-of-way line on either of those walls. So you can see really very narrow section in this area specifically. And we require routing a trail outside of this, the right-of-way at this location. To kind of march further west, this is taking a look at the Sigourney Street Bridge. this is the pier and the abutment wall, so something that we've discussed out in the field is actually routing a trail through this space and a little bit closer look at this area under that bridge. Same bridge looking west, looking east, so kind of back from the direction we were walking at. South side is on our right and something we're thinking about in terms of offsets from the rail. Current guidance from DOT is about 20, you know, showing 20-foot offset from the center of rail. Just for perspective, this existing concrete wall was measured to be about 20 feet. So anything that we're doing with the trail would be kind of above and behind that line in this corridor. Same area between Sigourney and Woodland Street, looking west towards Woodland Street and the behind the whole field crew here, you'll see this brick building kind of come in sight. That is Austin Organs and represents the closest pinch point on the south side of the tracks. Again, you're looking at west towards Woodland Street, but again, you know, where we're looking for a trail is this 20 feet off the rail, which is really at the this concrete wall. But you'll notice up at the top of the embankment, you know, fencing here, there's private property. There's a lot of multifamily parcels with parking out back on Sargent Street. So that's really what's up on the top of that hill, 50 foot off rail center. If you're looking west towards Woodland Street, Austin, Oregon's here on your left, and Chrysalis Center on your right. And another pinch point on the south side, just as noted, looking at how close this building structure is to the rail. Not something in the existing configuration that we would have a proper off space to put rail with trail. This portion of Austin, Oregon's about 26 feet, so it is the closest point. But you'll just notice with the track geometry, it's really a small section before you kind of can get that a little bit further away from the tracks. Just a video, I think, for context, while we were out there, there was a freight movement going down. He's going towards Hartford Union Station here on this video. Load it up. I think something that was helpful for the group, something that I think we discussed is, you know, I think it was very good context to see the train movement. Something that doesn't really stick with you in a photo is just the vibrations, the noises and all that. So, something that we certainly talked about out in the field. So as we continue northwest, this is the Woodland Street Bridge. This is the narrowest of all the bridges, so you really see how narrow this is. Two concepts that we were thinking about, I guess three, as I noted in the notes here, as we discussed potential, you know, replace that bridge wholesale with a wider span. Discuss the potential with a DOT team on, you know, kind of putting a culvert in here to support that trail to the south of that bridge, but noting, you know, this abutment wall. And then the third option, if you can imagine here, right behind this building, there's actually a kind of a ramp down owned by the city of Hartford, potentially using that as an alternative to get up and around this structure at Woodland Drive. Another shot just looking east, really just at how tight some of these buildings are to the corridor. This is looking east now. So Chrysalis Center is on your left. Homestead Avenue would be right in front of that building. The Austin Organs Complex is to your right. And then the City of Hartford property would be kind of right before this photo. So again, looking at specifically out in the field, we're looking at the south side. That's about 26 feet off and its closest point. So it's certainly something that is close, but it's right in this one location. Again, looking east, but now on the other side of the Woodland Street Bridge, just demonstrating really how narrow that current span is. Looking east, further to the west, so you'll see just, you know, some of this is the right of way line, just how close that is, and that is pretty consistent as we go further towards Albany Avenue. This is 333 Homestead Avenue or Salvation Army, one of their outbuildings here, very, very close to the rail line. Now looking west, flip the camera around, looking towards Albany Avenue, you know, really just noting how much right of way, how much space there is to the south of the rail line. There's a little bit of a shoulder here with a few narrower sections with some of the culverts, but those are kind of in selected locations in this area. So it really just demonstrates, you know, showing how that rail line has really shifted on the north side of the right of way through this area. Finally, one more building. I just want to highlight 425 Homestead Avenue. This view looking north. So again, showing how close that corner is to the rail line. Only really a few feet of clearance between the trains and the buildings in these locations. And then finally, this is view looking north at Albany Avenue. So a little bit wider span, but you'll see how good just going right through the center, not really appropriate offset distance to support railway trail through this current span. And then another challenge with potentially routing a trail on that north or east side, for example, if it's on that right side. Talked a lot about these transmission towers, and that tower to the bridge abutment is very close, a matter of feet. So an obstacle to be considered right uphill of this too is a car wash. That's the Russell's car wash on Albany and Homestead corner. So something that's very difficult. One thing that we were talking about is potentially looking west of here. There is a utility substation just to the south, but it's a fairly big parcel. In this area, there's a driveway, but kind of a lot of room to play with and to get a culvert on the other side of Albany Ave to the west. So, you know, I think that's certainly an opportunity for us in this area. I will stop there, and if there's any questions about kind of what we, you know, have photos on and the site visit or talked about, certainly want to open it up. And Caitlin, if you had any other observations you wanted to highlight.
No, I don't think I've got anything to add at this time. I see Kevin has his hand up, so.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. Everyone probably saw the article in the Hartford Business Journal about, I mean, I think there were two. There was one about IQuilt, I think, getting community investment funds to do design work on this stretch of the trail. Then there was a following article which talked about building this stretch of the trail along the Griffin Line. And the price tag quoted was $65 million. That's for a roughly 6-mile stretch of trail. So that's over $10 million a mile. So I just, I'm wondering where that, you know, two things, I guess. I'm wondering where that estimate comes from. And I'm also wondering roughly at this point in time, what is our cost per mile of trail? I don't think the trail out here in Bloomfield costs nearly that much. And I just wonder what we're using as a sort of round figure for that kind of thing. Thanks.
Yep. So I guess, the simple answer is that is not something that came from our project team as of yet. We will be doing our own cost estimates with the alternatives that we develop, kind of a both from an order of magnitude as we're looking at different alternatives and then refining that for the preferred alternative finally to move forward as part of this report. I know IQuilt has been doing their own planning. That has come, I think, from their team. We've been coordinating with their team and includes elements beyond what we're looking at here specific to the Griffin Line. So I know that there's pieces that estimate likely includes in terms of the river link, looking at bridge structures up and over I-91 to connect Market Street to riverfront recapture parks, some of the on-street routing through North Crossing or downtown North, to get to the actual rail line, and then potentially some of the rail line options as well included in that figure. So, I think thus far you've seen some of the numbers from IQuilt that have included, there's kind of some overlap in the Venn diagram of the two projects, but probably have also some other, things included in that figure as well.
So what is the unit cost we're using as roughly per mile?
We're not there yet, Kevin, to say, I guess this is a simple answer, but it will be developed as part of the next steps. We're developing kind of the technical details, looking at the cross sections. Those are currently in development. And then at that point, we'll be able to develop some basic costs.
Okay, great. Thanks.
I got a related question as well.
Yep.
Well, and I'm just wondering, I don't know if there's anybody from Hartford on here or not, but from their end, I mean, obviously the article talked about, you know, them working with, you know, the Hartford planning as well as the money itself, it sounds like from the state is going through the city of Hartford. And just wondering, that kind of puts them in the middle between what's going on here with CROG and what IQLT is doing. And wondering how that coordination is working, who's going to be, you know, if IQLT is moving forward, obviously $2.5 million is not going to do final design for a $65 million project. But it must be some concept work of some sort of preliminary design. But, I mean, who's going to be overseeing that design? Do they have that figured out yet, or where's that at?
Parker, I don't know if you saw, but I saw Owen popped in. So I don't know if Owen, you wanted to jump in.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, Jonathan. We have a draft MOU. The plan is to have IQLT basically continue doing a lot of the initial work they've been doing, outreach and conceptual designs, and then using the funding we have as far as it can go for construction documents. If we need more, we'll just go to the level that we can get to. But that's spelled out in an MOU that's being reviewed. We're meeting with IQLT every other week, to stay on the same page about that. Because of the source of their funding, they have a little more flexibility to do some things earlier on, but we're trying to keep everything coordinated so none of it is, stepping on each other's toes or duplicative. But in general, the idea is for them to do a lot of the early groundwork, and then with the city's $1.5 million, applying that to final design documents as far as it will go.
Thank you for that. I do have one other question. I mean, I know that the article indicates that they're talking about going to the Bloomfield Town Center. At what point were you planning on involving anybody from Bloomfield in this?
I'm not sure. What article is that?
It was maybe that's not the case. Maybe you're just looking in Hartford, but the article from the Business Journal indicated from downtown Hartford to the Bloomfield Town Center.
No, I mean, we had that meeting with you a while back, and our plans coming out of that are still the same, to go up to the Capaco area.
Okay.
And IQLT, my understanding was they were on the same page for this portion of planning and design. So I don't know where that's coming from. That's certainly not our intention.
Okay. Cities. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I think as a practical matter for the routing, Jonathan, you know, I think the town and all of our work have shown kind of how to go from Bloomfield Center to Capaco. And I think that still holds. So then once you get to Capaco on south of the Griffin line, I think that's kind of the connection down to Toby Road and then whatever happens in Hartford. Yeah. So I think that line looks currently, it's really Toby Road kind of through the private development up to 218, kind of across the Planet Fitness and then up Tyler Street to Park Ave. So I think that still holds.
Okay. That sounds good. Yep. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion on Griffin Line?
I guess I would very quickly say that given all the other projects that I see across the northeastern United States, and in fact, I can quote some numbers. I mean, New Haven Phase 4, those tunnels from Yale down to Olive Street, that's going to be about $11 million a mile. In fact, that's basically confirmed. So, so you got that. I would also say that, we've got from New Jersey DOT a number for the 11 miles, of the, Essex Hudson connector, which is on an abandoned rail line from Jersey City to, the center of Montclair. So 11.5 miles, 140 million. So that's the top end that I've heard. So, you know, caveat emptor, of course, you know, that has really nothing to do with what you guys are going to design, but it's those are real numbers. And then I would argue that a baseline number is still probably, you know, $1.5 to $2 million a mile with limited engineering. You know, just to build, essentially build a town road, which is essentially what you're doing.
Yep. One thing that we've, talked about internally too, Bruce, is, you know, kind of the Griffin line looks a little bit different in different segments. So Albany to Garden, for example, is a way different, segment than Plainfield to Scatobie Road.
Yeah. No, absolutely true.
We're thinking about, you know, I mean, we're spending a lot of our efforts looking at that core section because there's so many structures, you know, adjacent properties, whatnot.
Yeah, I just want to manage expectations. You know, the last thing we want is a huge number to get out there published and people go crazy, right? We don't want that.
Yeah. The other thing, Bruce, too, is we'll have so keep in mind. I'm just going to flip to my next slide too, because this might be helpful context. So we're looking here. You know, Griffin Line is part of this Hartford to Bloomfield gap that we've identified. There's all this Griffin Line work is really was an add-on amendment to allow us to look at the kind of technical feasibility with all these parties. About what we can do in this area. So we're really expecting that the Hartford piece will have two shortlisted options, which is going to be whatever that Griffin Line preferred alternative is, and then whatever the next best alternative is. So just keep in mind, we've been talking about Keeney Park, the riverfront recapture, you know, going through this west end. So we have all these kind of different, alignments that we've identified way earlier on in the process that have kind of been on hold as we've been getting Griffin Line up to stuff, but, you know, both of those will be costed out. So as a matter of comparison, we'll then be able to say, okay, well, what in reality is, the next best alternative cost versus what we're thinking about for this section.
Yeah. Well, that brings up my other point, in this argument, which is, I have no problem with us working on a Griffin Line option, but, the quote unquote next best alternative, could likely be built 5 years earlier for half the money. And it's just, it's a legitimate, you know, conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take a look. I think as we got through the details, which we'll be able to share a little bit more in, the next meeting, with this group, as they're still kind of in draft. I mean, I think we're pretty excited about some of the potential and, you know, I think from a first look wasn't necessarily as much heavy infrastructure as I initially anticipated when we kind of first set out on this task. Any other questions or comments on Griffin? Caitlin?
No, I don't think so. I think the board might be pleasantly surprised and kind of excited about, so far what I've seen for some preliminary, you know, cross-section potentials for the Griffin Line. So I'll be excited for the consultant team to kind of finalize those and get those in a place where we can share them, because, it feels that's a real possibility to me. And it will be interesting. And Parker, I don't think we've touched on this, and I think we're probably planning on it. But kind of when the decision-making process for how this group slash the communities go from, you know, the shortlist to the preferred decision. I think, you know, specifically as it relates to essentially what is the next Griffin or what is the best Griffin line option for the city of Hartford slash Bloomfield, and also, you know, what the next best alternative is. I would be very curious to see how those communities, make their decision, you know, like to Bruce, to your point, you know, you could probably build another option. Some of it's already largely built, for a fraction of the price. But what are the communities going to weigh as far as what they want to prioritize, when they go to select? So, as long as we align at our municipal borders, it'll work. But no, I'm excited. The team has been hard at work. So looking forward to sort of being able to share that next chapter with you, if you will.
Well, just final wrap up. You know, Wednesday, January 31st, I think we got something on the books already for 11 to 12:30, another virtual meeting. And again, with the Griffin line piece, I think that'll be kind of a major comment by then. Hopefully have the Simsbury piece finalized out the door. And then kind of wrap up with really going into this final reporting stage and public meetings. Finally, it is a public meeting. Just want to wrap it, you know, open it up if there is any final public comment of any nature of anyone on the call. Okay. Hearing none, appreciate it. Thank you very much for joining. And as always, don't hesitate to reach out if you have any other comments or questions. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.